Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to a special edition of the Familia FFB podcast. We're joined by someone who I'm predicting is going to be a future superstar in the sports media. Yes, Yasmin Quintana. She works in operations at Red Bull, and in the social media realm, she's owned for her exceeding fandom of the Cincinnati Bengals, as well as a lot of other cool stuff. Her follows have just grown exponentially. I'd say a few people are as positive about a team that's had it rough for the past half decade than her. So, and if you haven't checked out her pinned tweet on her Twitter account, what is it again? Yo Yasmin with two N's?
Yes, it is. It's YOYASMINN.
Yeah. So if you haven't checked out the pinned tweet on there, it's a TikTok video that is it's like 25 seconds of really cool stuff, which I'm sure took a lot longer than 25 seconds. So we're gonna ask her about that. But Yasmin, como siempre, es un placer. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited, and thank you for that intro. That was very nice of you. That was way nicer than I ever expected. So I really appreciate that. I'm happy to be here. Yeah, Bengals. I'm the most optimistic person that I know about them. And I love to be that way, to be honest. I think that might be the reason that my Twitter has grown so much is just, I think I bring a unique view to a team that went 2-14 last year and has started the season 0-2, but I'm optimistic that it's going to get better starting this week. So we'll see.
And I think it's really cool that, you know, your following has grown so much. You're in California, West Coast person and West Coast lady. And all of a sudden, you know, this team in Cincinnati, you're gaining fans. But first off, how did your fandom start for the Bengals?
So this is actually funny because it's going to come full circle. It's all going to come full circle right now. But it started with, without getting too into it, my brother-in-law was a huge football fan, and I've always liked sports growing up, but I never really had a team. My family was Niners and Raiders fans. That's where I grew up. And I think that my brother-in-law had some Bengals players on his fantasy football team, and he started following back when it was like Mohamed Sanu was with the Bengals, Ocho Cinco, Marvin Jones Jr. And so he followed these guys closely, and he would always have the games on and would talk to me about it. And it kind of just stuck. And it was right when Chad Johnson or Ocho Cinco was doing all his really fun touchdown celebrations and like pretending to bribe the refs with money and just all this stuff. And I think that what really got me about it was that he made the sport so fun. And I just fell in love with that because that's kind of the approach that I have always tried to bring to sports. So when I saw that he did that, I think that's kind of what like lit the fire under me. And I just became a Bengals fan. And that season, the Bengals happened to be playing the Raiders. We went to the game and it just continued to grow. And then a couple years later, Chad Ocho Cinco was having a fan lunch when they were playing the Raiders again. And I told my brother-in-law, I'm like, I saw on Twitter, this is back in like 2010, I'm like, or maybe even 2009. I'm like, I saw on Twitter that Ocho Cinco posted that he's going to be eating at Scott's in Oakland tomorrow. Like, do you think we can go? It's only 100 fans that are allowed in. And him and my sister were like, okay, fine, we'll take you. And I was a freshman in high school. They had no business taking me, but that was very nice of them. And me and my sister went to Walmart the night before and made like Bengals iron-on shirts because I didn't own anything Bengals related yet. Like we printed it out, ironed on the Bengals logo with Ocho Cinco on the back. And that was for game day. We went to Scott's and we met Chad, and him and I just like, I mean, I hope he would agree, but I would say even my sister agrees. We just like connected right away. He started asking me about like what I wanted to do. And I told him that I wanted to work in sports, but if that didn't work out, then I was going to be a rapper. I don't know why I said that. It was honestly just like a joke. I think I was joking. He's like, really? Well, let's write a rap then. So we sat down and I wrote him a rap. I have no idea what it says. I do not remember at all. And it was just like this huge, funny joke. And I told him, I was like, you need to take this with you and play with it in your pocket tomorrow. It's going to be good luck. And he's like, deal. And at the very bottom, I wrote my Twitter handle. And the next day, the Bengals lost. But the next day, we're driving home, and I go on Twitter, and I had a notification from Ocho Cinco, and he had tweeted me, and he said, "Cool wrap, it's still in my pocket." And as a 15-year-old girl, that was the coolest thing that could have ever happened, and it just stuck ever since. I fell in love with the team. But last night, I posted on Twitter, I said, if you could have lunch with any past or present NFL player, who would it be? And mine is Ocho Cinco. Although I've already kind of done it, I would want to do it again now that I'm so much older. And so many of my followers were tagging him. And I had said to Jared, my boyfriend, I was like, I bet you he's going to notice. So many people are tagging him. I'm like, he's going to have to notice. There's at least 70 tags. And we sat down on the couch, we're watching basketball, and I go on my Twitter, and he replied to it. And it just was the craziest thing. So here we are today. I'm a very happy girl. I owe it all to him. But I would say that a common misconception is people think that, oh, well, she likes Ocho Cinco. But no, I love the whole team as a whole, but I definitely owe it to him, if that makes sense.
No, totally, totally. So yeah. You know, how's your love of the NFL as well as the Bengals grown since that lunch at Scott's over these past 10 years?
Oh, wow. It's grown. I would say it's grown a lot. It's funny because I have tried so many times to kind of expand and put my, I want to say, like, give my attention to other teams, which I have done. And I have players on other teams that are my favorite players. For example, I always post about him, but DK Metcalf is one of my favorite players. I love him.
Agreed.
I have players that I love to follow and that I respect, and I'll watch every single game on Sundays. But during the off season, during the week when the teams aren't playing, the only team that I'm following is Cincinnati. Like, I am glued to Cincinnati podcasts, their website, Twitter accounts that report for them, just anything. That's where my main focus is. But I definitely have a love for the game as a whole. And I love to watch it. I love to watch it all.
So, you know, you've mustered quite the following on Twitter and Instagram. What's been your secret to getting so many follows? It's great. Oh, I think it's fantastic.
Honestly, oh God, thank you. I think really I want to credit it to just being authentic and being myself. I do think that my personality shines through in my tweets. Like, for example, sometimes I think too much about it. Today, James, he is a Bengals reporter for Sports Illustrated. He posted that Geno Atkins and Sean Williams aren't practicing today, which are two players on our defense. And I just quote tweeted it and I said, "Can you go ask them why?" And I thought about it and I'm like, half of my followers aren't going to get that I'm joking, but I'm 100% joking. And it's just like funny because we all know that. Well, not we all, but Bengals fans know the reasons that they aren't practicing. They haven't played any games this season is because they've been injured and, you know, they are probably taking some rest days, taking it day by day before game day, whatever. But I like to bring the different angle to where I'm like, well, can you go ask them why? Like, it's just a joke, you know? And I think that that's kind of what has helped my Twitter take off is that my tweets aren't the same takes that you're hearing from everybody else. There's going to be 100 accounts that are going to tweet about Randy Bullock shouldn't have missed the field goal and Zach Taylor should have went for it with 8 seconds left. Zach Taylor should have given Joe Burrow the chance to throw the touchdown instead of trying to kick the field goal and go into overtime week one against the Chargers. But the way I look at it is, every Bengals fan watching already knows that. We don't need to say that one more time. And yes, there are people that need to say that, but I want to just bring a different approach to it. So I always just try whatever my authentic reaction right away is, that's what I like to post. That's what I like to just like get out there. And I think that's really what has helped my following grow. And then I noticed that people were watching and people were following. So I created a little series called Pep Talks with Yaz, which is a joke where I pretend that I'm giving the team a pep talk before the game on Sunday. So I say, like, point of view, you're a player in the locker room, the last practice before the game. And I just talk to the players, and that little series has helped me gain a lot of followers. I've definitely noticed that whenever I post those, my count goes up. But I really do think that it's just me using my personality and who I am, and just not being afraid to show that and not being too calculated or thinking too much about the things I say, just going out there and just being myself.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's why I was, you know, I know you think I was kidding about you becoming a sports media superstar, but, you know, it's those kind of things that, you know, adding that authenticity is really why I think, what I think is such a really cool part of your persona that is going out there. And I think that's going to be very important as you parlay this. And, you know, I know we've talked a little bit and you mentioned a little bit about, you know, launching your own website and maybe even doing some other stuff in the media. What are some of the like little projects that you'd like to undertake?
Yeah. So, there's so many things, which is so funny because I'm like trying to slow myself down and be like, okay, guys, really think about this. But right now I would say the like most exciting thing that I have coming is my own podcast, which I think is going to be really fun. It's going to be 100% Bengals based because, although I do love and respect the rest of the NFL, I think that I am more useful to Cincinnati. And I say that just because I think that I can bring a different view. And when you have a fan base that's kind of like being kicked down by all the other fan bases constantly, sometimes you really just need somebody to be like, who cares what they're saying? Like, we got this. Let's move past it. And that's kind of the person that I've tried to be. So I do have a podcast coming. I'm very excited about that because I love Bengals podcasts that are out right now. And I listen to all of them as soon as they release an episode. I have many that are my favorite, but I really want to bring a different angle to it. So very excited about that. It'll hopefully be out very, very soon. And then, yeah, I have been working on building a website, but the thing that is funny is that some people may disagree with this, but my whole goal is to bring Cincinnati closer together as a fan base. It's a fan base that's really disrespected by the NFL. The team is a team that the media just loves to tear apart, even though there are changes, but it's okay. But I'm trying to build a website right now that's going to kind of be like a one-stop shop for Bengals fans. So not only will I be promoting my own show on there, I'll also have links to all other Bengals podcasts because there are other podcasts like the Locked On Network, which is Locked On Bengals, Jake, which is one of the hosts, and James, the other one. They do such a great job at breaking down every single game and previewing and talking about what we need and bringing on guests and analyzing it completely. And I can do that too, but they're so great at it. I need to let them do it. And if my fans want to come and hear some fun aspects, which I don't want to release anything that I'm doing yet because good, I want it to good. All be a surprise, but I'll definitely have a different angle than somebody like Locked On, or there's another podcast called, or it's like a YouTube show called Orange is the New Black. They do a really great job too. And I love all of them, and I want Bengals fans to know that there's all these separate outlets. So my website is going to be geared towards that, which is really exciting. I'm going to make it like a one-stop shop Bengals. And then as far as like being a girl and just like trying to also use that to my advantage, I'm doing like game day recipes and game day outfits, which I'm very excited about because those are two things that I care a lot about. So that's all in the works, but I still do have a full-time job. So I'm trying to balance everything. I don't want to like rush to put it out and then have it not be produced at the best of my ability. So it's coming slowly but surely, and it's all happened very quickly. So we'll see. But another thing I think that I would like to get into is this kind of happened by accident, but during the Bengals game on Thursday, I just hopped on Twitter and did a live and started talking about the game, asking people questions, their reactions, stuff like that. And that was so fun. I got so many people on there and I loved talking with them, and I got a lot of really great feedback. So I think I'm going to start implementing like either game day halftime lives or like post game reactions, stuff like that. But yeah, we'll see. I'm open to trying everything right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So I got one question for a Bengals related question.
Yes.
Is Burrow the future and the present?
Yes. Absolutely. Have you watched him play?
I did. I was quite impressed. I was quite impressed in that Browns game. I was not so impressed until the end of the Charger game, but I was very impressed in the Browns game.
Yeah, so I think that's something that, I mean, I'm sure you can tell because you watch football and you're a fan. But one thing that people sometimes don't realize when they just look at the numbers is that our offensive line is really beat down. And that's a reason that like Joe Mixon isn't producing as much as we'd love him to. And honestly, our whole right side of our line needs a lot of work right now. And it's something that I'm sure Zach Taylor knows. He knows he needs to work on that right side, and he knows that he needs to get Joe some help there, which to me, I was watching the game and I'm like, protect him. I'm like, we're going to injure him before he even takes off. But what I just want people to realize is somebody may look at his stats and say, oh, wow, he threw 61 times. That's amazing. Good for him. But he still lost and it probably wasn't that great. Is you have to realize he threw and had that game behind a line that is so broken and needs so much help. And he has no time in the pocket. But for example, I was watching, I mean, just not even just one, but there's so many different quarterbacks in the game that have so much time in the pocket and so much time to make their decision, and they have good strong offensive lines, and Joe Burrow doesn't have that. And that's something that I know that we need to build in Cincinnati, and once that is built, it's going to be very dangerous. But I think that for what we've seen so far and how he's adjusted, and he's been such a team leader, and I've watched all his press conferences and stuff, and his head's just really in the right place. I'm excited. He actually said this morning that he doesn't care what he has to do for us to win. If he needs to throw 100 times, he's going to throw 100 times. If he's going to throw 0 times and we're going to figure out the run game, then that's what he's going to do as long as we get those wins. And to me, that's something that's really admirable, because there are some quarterbacks out there that are going to get angry if you're not letting them throw. And obviously, he's going to get to throw because he's what was moving us down the field. But I think he's just really smart. And although he's athletic, I think he's a really, really smart player. And that shows in the way that he carries himself and the way that he plays the game. He obviously makes mistakes. I also saw Herbert on Sunday, played an amazing game, but made some mistakes. And Joe has done that too, but I do think that he is the future of Cincinnati, and I think it's going to be really awesome to watch it unfold.
Yeah, that's why I think the big thing they really need to invest in immediately after this season is that offensive line, even before the defense. I think you got to keep that kid upright, because he's got a little Deshaun Watson playmaker to him, and that was very impressive. I was not expecting this this kind of early debut from him, and he's going to be good. Real quick, because I know we're doing this on your lunch hour.
You're fine. I think we have some time.
That TikTok video, can you give me kind of like the quick synopsis? How long did that take? I know it was only 25 seconds, but you said it took a long time.
Yeah. So nobody tell TikTok, but if I think that now, looking back, you learn as you go. But if I would have just made it on iMovie, I want to say it would have probably taken like 30 minutes, 30, 35 minutes. It took me 2.5 hours. It was, I think the video ended up being, I think it might be like 50 seconds total. But the problem with TikTok is that, so you like record, and it's just, it's a lot more confusing on the app, because you have to use the apps like in editing tool or in app editing tools, which helped me a lot with the transitions. But yeah, it did take a very long time, but I knew going into it that it was going to take a while, and I knew I was committed. And it's actually funny, because I ran out of time. I had so many more outfits. I was like, how am I going to make all of these fit? I need to get all these outfits in here. I have so many. And I just ran out of time. But it took about 2.5 hours. But the thing is, you edit it as you go. Right. So that's like filming, editing, all that stuff. And yeah, I owe that video a lot of credit. I didn't think that it was going to blow up the way it did, but it sure did bring me a lot of followers, and I'm very thankful for that. It was funny. A lot of the comments were like, we had no idea, like, someone could own this much Bengals stuff. Like, as I knew that's kind of taking a little jab at me, but I'm like, you know what? This is nothing. I still have so much more. I could make a part two if I wanted. But yeah, that was a good one. And honestly, I was very proud of it, and I haven't made any more since, because I'm like, how am I going to follow that one up? Like, I really gotta figure this out. So we'll see.
Well, when the Joe Burrow jersey arrives, yeah, then it's the first victory, then that'll be the follow up.
Yeah, I hope we win on Sunday. I don't like to say like we're gonna win or we're gonna lose, because then when the opposite happens, I blame it on myself. Like, I'm a big believer in jinxing. It's quite bad. It's funny because during my live on Thursday, I told everybody, I'm like, everybody change your outfits now. I was like, we need to switch up the juju. And so many people were DMing me like, I just changed from my Burrow jersey to my Mixon jersey or something like that. And it was so funny. I was like, I love this. Like, I love just messing around. I think my main goal with all of this is I want somebody to like look at me and think she makes the game fun. If we have to like break down the game and talk about the players and the statistics and the offensive line and all this stuff. Oh, the light just went out, but I'm able to do that. And I love to do that too with certain people, but for the most part, I just want to make the game fun. I want to make sure that we're all enjoying it. And that's kind of what my goal is to set out and do for all of us.
Oh, that's awesome. So, you know, the Familia FFB podcast is a Latino-focused podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, how are you an example of the younger generation of Latinos who love the NFL and football in general, especially Latinas?
Yeah, I think that something that is kind of funny for me that I love. I'm very lucky, but sometimes people don't really realize that I am 100% Mexican. Both of my parents were born and raised in Mexico, and people don't realize that. And I think sometimes people, like, my name is Yasmin Quintana, and people are like, oh, Yasmin Quintana, and it sounds kind of Persian or Armenian, so I think people go towards that. But I actually speak fluent Spanish, and in college I love to use that to my advantage when people didn't believe me. And I think that it's been really special to be able to navigate both languages and be able to represent when I can. And I think that something that has been interesting is that since people think that, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I think that since people think that it's like Armenian or Persian and they don't realize that I'm Mexican, when people do find out, their like surprised reaction, I love it. I love it because I'm like, I don't want to like offend anybody, but I feel like people think that we aren't able to do it. I feel like people think that we aren't able to understand the game or to be as into the NFL as they can just because they're another race or another background. But when I do it and then they later find out like, oh, wow, she's 100% Mexican. It's kind of like me just like throwing a little ball at you and being like, look at that. Like, you didn't even have to know and I did it and now you know. And how do we feel about it? So that's just been something that I've kind of loved. Like, I love people's reactions when they're like, no way, because in my head I'm like, yeah, they probably, if I would have like said it right off the bat, they would have been like, oh, you are, you know. Like, I think that people think that like all Latinos, Latinas have to like soccer, or they're not allowed to like the NBA, or they're not allowed to like the NFL because we don't understand it. And I mean, that we are underrepresented in the sport as well, not only like in the media, but also in the sport. And it's nice to be able to do it and represent, and also just like be a voice for like younger generations. I think that I want, like, I have so many cousins, but I want like my little cousins to be able to grow up and know that they don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks. And if they want to like any particular sport, they're allowed to do that. And they're able to know it and learn it just as much as anybody that is a different gender or a different religion or a different race, anything with any background. The sport is there for anybody to enjoy and love. And break down and talk about, and I want us all to be able to do that. So I'm hoping that as my audience grows, I'm able to pull in more people that are from all different backgrounds and show them that you don't have to be like your typical football player from the typical family to enjoy and understand this sport. But I think what you're doing is really great. I think it's awesome that you're actually taking the time to really appeal to a Latino and Latina audience and show them like, hey, you don't have to be afraid. Like, we're all allowed to like this sport, you know?
It's true. I mean, you know, I did a little research and there's 29 million Latinos who are Latinos and Latinas in the United States who are NFL fans. And there's a ton. And I've come to find out since launching this, there's a ton in Mexico and the rest of Latin America. So it's just, you know, it's funny. I did I was a guest on a podcast where all the hosts are in Mexico. And we did it all in Spanish. We talked for like an hour and a half about fantasy football. It was glorious. And I started picking up followers from like one town over from where my parents grew up in Jalisco. So it's just, it's so, so cool. Funny. It's like, that's going to be your audience too. So that's fantastic. Yeah. That's why it's like just own, you know, I think that's the great thing we need to do is just kind of keep owning our raza and be true to it and just have a good time, you know, loving the sport that we've all grown up to love. So, you know, this being a fantasy football podcast, we love this. I think it's fantastic. You kept trying, you know, and ours is based on a family league. You're in a family league, but you weren't always, it was closed off to you for a little while and your rise has been fantastic. Sure. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's funny. I love that you remembered that, but yeah, so I have a very big family as well, not as big as yours, but I do have like 20 cousins. And my uncles and my cousins, my guy cousins, all had a fantasy football league that they've had going for a really long time, years and years. And I always wanted to join it, but they never cared to let me join. And I was never, anytime a spot would open up, they'd tell like my little brother, who at the time was like 15 and probably like did understand fantasy, but not as much as I did. And I was like, okay, well, why not? I'm not being asked to be part of this league. Like, I just was never lucky enough. And finally, I think it was 3 or 4 seasons ago, so I'm 22, 21 at this point, they finally were like, hey, Yaz, we have an open spot in our fantasy football league. Do you want to join? I was like, I know I was your last resort, but yes, I do, actually. And they let me join. And I think my first season was really, really good. And then the last 2 seasons, they didn't go too well for me. But honestly, at the very beginning of the season, I told my mom as a joke, I was like, Mom, we're going to go to church and we're going to tell God that if the Bengals have a good season, I'm willing to sacrifice my fantasy team. Like, I don't care. And no, it didn't work out for me either way. But this season I'm doing well so far, despite all the injuries this week. But this season has been really exciting for me because I actually got to be commissioner. So I'm commissioner of the league right now, and that's how my Twitter name, Commissioner Yaz, came up. But I think I really had to work for it, and I had to wait and like sit in the backfield for a really long time and just watch them all have this fantasy league and hang out on the day of the draft and have jokes against each other and stuff like that. And I just had to watch. I wasn't allowed. And finally, I think I've gained enough respect to be the commissioner, which is harder than you would think.
Oh, yes.
but yeah, it's been a good time so far. And it's funny, I'll have like some of my cousins texting me on the side, like, we should implement this rule, or don't let this happen, or should we change this, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, well, why don't you want to say it in the chat, huh? You want to come and tell me, you want to get me to have to be the one to present it, which has been hilarious, but it's been a good time. I'm really happy with it.
Well, yeah, you get as the commissioner, you know, you got to basically play referee sometimes and make sure there's no problems. But that's so, is this your only league or do you play in other leagues as well?
So this is my first season doing only one league, which I honestly don't really know how it happened. I just kind of have been so busy with everything else going on that leading up to the season, I kind of fell off. But this league that I do with my family is just like a regular snake draft league that we do every year on ESPN. But all through college, I actually did a league that was an auction draft with all my guy college friends, and that was so fun. And I honestly am very sad that I'm missing out this year. I've told them multiple times, I'm like, I can't believe I didn't do it, but that was such a fun time. One time I, so when you do the auction draft, you obviously like bid for players. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to get one of my friends to, use all his money on Jameis Winston. And this was probably like 3 or 4 years ago. And I kept bidding and I kept bidding and I'm like, we're going back and forth and we're going back and forth. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to get him to get it. I was like, I'm going to get him to get to like $70 or something, which was a really high amount. And he got me, and I ended up with Jameis Winston, and my team that season was so bad. And I was the one texting the commissioner. I was like, Sam, you have to cancel this. You have to like undo it, please. I'm like, please just, I can't. I was like, I lost all my money. I think you start with like $150. I was like, I lost it all on a quarterback. I was like, I don't have, I was like, none of my other slots are filled. And all the boys are just laughing at me so much. They're like, you tried to get tricky on us and look at us, we got you. but yeah, that one was a fun one too. And yeah, this season, I think just like my Twitter and stuff like that and being focused on what I'm trying to build with the Bengals, I kind of wanted to focus on that this year, but I'm doing well in my league with my family. So I'm going to maybe doing just one league is going to be good for me because I'll excel in this one.
It you know, it's funny. I've gone both ways. I'm in four. So, you know, I've found that it's kind of tough when it's, you know, you've got four teams going on all of a sudden. It's like your team on this team and, you know, gets blown up. It does great, but then you get blown up on another team. I already had that happen in my first league, in the first week. So
yeah,
you're smart.
I made the big mistake of, well, I don't know if I want to admit this, but I'm just going to admit it because it's funny. It's laughable now. But I had the Saints defense, and then I had Raiders tight end Darren Waller. Is it Waller?
Waller.
Yes. So I went into Monday Night Football down 30 points, and he had 30 points, and I was like, I'm going to win. But the worst part was every time that he would get points, my defense would go down. So it was like I was almost there. Like I was neck and neck. And I'm texting my cousin Adrian. And I'm like, he's laughing so hard at me because he's like, you are so dumb. How did you not catch that? But it's because, yeah, I don't know how I didn't catch it. Usually I would have caught something like that. But I honestly, I think I just didn't think that he was going to have such an explosive game. So I don't know, but it was, that part was hard because I ended up losing by like 3 points, but it would be like Saints defense, 9 points. And then they would go back down. And then at that very last touchdown, the Raiders scored at the end, my defense went down and I ended up losing. But
was that the difference? That made the difference?
Oh. Yeah. But you know what? Something else that I want to say, my friends, and I should not take advice from friends. I should just listen to myself. But everybody was telling me like, oh no, like you should not put in Bengals players, whatever. If I would have put in Tyler Boyd as my wide receiver, who I originally had, and CJ Uzama, who is the Bengals tight end, if I would have kept them in, I would have won by a lot. But other people got in my head, chirpy, chirp, chirp, that the Bengals might not do as good that week and I should be careful. And so I sat both of them. And they both got touchdowns and they both had great games. CJ unfortunately went out with a Achilles injury, but before he left the game, I'm pretty sure he left the game with like 15 or 16 points. And that was before halftime. So that was heartbreaking. But this week I have Christian McCaffrey and he's out for the next 3 games, I think. So gonna have to do some adjustments. We'll see what happens. I really have to listen to your last episode and figure out who to pick up on the waiver wire and whatnot.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we do a quick waiver wire. I think this week it was only 16 minutes of chock full of information, but actually I was going to ask you about that, but I didn't I tell you last week when we talked before the game that it was going to be a shootout? So
yeah.
So I'm expecting a lot of Bengals to score a lot of points this year because their defense is not going to be very good. So fire up Tyler Boyd every week. That's one bit of advice.
Yeah, definitely. I need to get back on that. I messed up on that last week and I'm done listening to anybody else. I think it may be because week one, he didn't have very many targets, which I understand, but AJ Green's first game back since 2018, December of 2018. So obviously all the targets are going to that right side to hit him. But Tyler Boyd had a very great game on Thursday. So I'm going to have to do some adjustments and hopefully I will come out with a win on week three. My family does a really cool thing where the winner or the highest scoring team each week wins money. So the lump sum at the end of the season isn't as big, but it gives everybody on the team a extra kick of motivation to want to win and have the highest scoring team each week. So I'm hoping, I'm trying to go get that money every single week. So I'm going to definitely have to make some adjustments.
Go get that money, lady. Go get that money.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
So you mentioned I was going to ask you about how, if you were hurt by the injury bug, the crazy injury bug. I've been following the NFL for 43 insane years, and I've never seen injuries like that season, like this last Sunday. Yeah. How are you going to deal with McCaffrey's absence?
So I'm definitely going to have to make a trade there. I just pulled up my team. I have my other running back is David Johnson, which he had a not a good game on Sunday, but week one he wasn't too bad, so yeah, we'll see. I'm gonna have to make adjustments there. I picked up Zach Moss, who is now questionable, but Zach Moss from the Bills, I picked him up at the beginning of the season because I thought he might be one of the sleeper picks, but I think that I'm just gonna have to get a trade going. There's another team in the league that everybody's average score this week was like 130, like 100 to 130. And then we had one team that scored 170, but there's another team that scored 199. And they just have the most stacked team. So I'm going to have to put together something good to send over and be like, send. But I think besides that, I didn't get hit too hard with the injuries. CJ Uzama, who I already mentioned, which is a tight end for the Bengals, he is on injured reserve, as well as McCaffrey. But besides that, my team is still looking pretty good. I had Tom Brady, and I put Tom Brady in instead of Deshaun Watson. I thought that Brady would be able to go off against the Panthers, but
and he should.
Well, really, I thought it was also going to be a mental game because the media was really on him all week after week one. So I thought, in true Tom Brady fashion, he's going to be like, let me get all these haters out of my ear. And he ended up only putting up like 10 points, which was disappointing, but
that's the smart play because the Panthers are a defense that you target all season. The Panthers, the Bengals are another defense you target. Unfortunately, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, last fantasy question. Do you like PPR or standard better or half?
I would say I like PPR better. Just because I really like to get real particular with it. I would say definitely PPR. I made sure our league this year was PPR. And then we also do decimal scoring so that it's as accurate as possible. I really want it to reflect what's happening on the field. So that's the way that I like to go. What about you? What do you guys?
Well, my family league, it's funny. I'm one of the older guys in the league and I keep trying to get them to go PPR and they're like, no, we need to stay standard. We don't want to change the PPR. I'm like, I'm the viejo yeah, here. And I'm the one who wants to be innovative and change things up. And yeah, you guys are stuck like a bunch of viejos. It's funny. So I've stopped. I like PPR. I just like a lot. I like a lot of points.
Yeah, I feel like
it evens out. It gives wide receivers a little bit more bump, and people still go crazy for running backs anyway. But I like the PPR side.
I completely agree. I also have Harrison Butker, who I'm sure you saw. He scored 350 plus yarders in a row. It was funny the whole game. I'm like, dang it. Like, I'm like, just come on, like get some points. He had like 3 points the whole game. And at the end, I was sitting there and I mean, he ended up second half of the game, just obviously got so many more points. But at the end, I'm like, do not miss this. I need these points. And then he did it 3 times in a row. I couldn't believe it. I wish that they all would have counted. That was awesome.
Oh, awesome. Well, Yasmin, this has been great. I hope this is we get more opportunities like this, and I can't tell you how much I wish you great success. You know,
thank you.
You know, just getting to know you a little bit, and also, you know, you're somos gente, so we get, you know, hopefully we get
exactly
to boost each other up a little bit here and there. And I can't wait to see your next great, you know, the first of many more great successes. So tell us where people can find you on your social media handles.
Yeah, so my Instagram is at Yo Yasmin, so it's just YoYasmin, and then my Twitter is the same, but with two N's. The one N was already taken, but yeah, we'll just start there, and my Twitter is a lot more what I use for all my sports stuff, so I would definitely say give me a follow on there. I promise I'll make you laugh at least once, and I love to interact with people, so hopefully I'll get to meet some new people on there soon.
Oh man, well, Familia, this is fantastic. Like I said, she's a future sports media superstar, and make sure you keep an eye on us on our Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as plenty of content on our FamiliaFFB.com website, and make sure you're keeping an eye on football this weekend. Familia, there won't be as many injuries. I'm predicting this right now. There won't be as many injuries as there were last weekend to such high-profile people. So, otra vez, Yasmin, fue un placer. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This has been great. And everybody, always remember, todos somos familia.